Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about anterior uveitis. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/anterior uveitis or in the ophthalmology section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge and help you remember the information for longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. Anterior uveitis refers to inflammation of the anterior aspect of the uvea. The uvea consists of the iris, the ciliary body, and the choroid. The choroid is the layer between the retina and the sclera. Intermediate uveitis and posterior uveitis are also possible, but they're less common than anterior uveitis. Anterior uveitis is usually caused by an autoimmune process, but it can also be due to infection, trauma, ischemia, or malignancy. Anterior uveitis involves inflammation in the anterior chamber of the eye. The anterior chamber becomes infiltrated by neutrophils, lymphocytes, and macrophages, which are all cells of the immune system. Hypopyon refers to a fluid collection containing inflammatory cells that's seen at the bottom of the anterior chamber of the eye on inspection. Let's talk about the associations. Anterior uveitis may be associated with an underlying autoimmune condition, particularly seronegative spondyloarthropathies, for example, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, and reactive arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, sarcoidosis, and Behçet's disease. A Tom tip for you is worth remembering the association between anterior uveitis and the HLA-B27 gene and the seronegative spondyloarthropathies. These are all connected. Next, let's talk about the presentation. Anterior uveitis may present with symptoms of a painful red eye, and this is typically a dull, achy pain in the eye, reduced visual acuity, photophobia due to spasm of the ciliary muscles, and epiphora, which is excessive tear production. Examination findings include ciliary flush, which is a ring of red that spreads from the cornea outwards, meiosis, which is a constricted pupil due to sphincter muscle contraction, an abnormally shaped pupil due to posterior synechia or adhesions pulling the iris into abnormal shapes, and hypopyon, which is a collection of inflammatory cells seen as a white fluid at the bottom portion of the anterior chamber. Finally, let's go through management. Patients should be referred for urgent assessment and management by an ophthalmologist. The usual first-line treatment is with steroids, either eye drops, oral or intravenous, and cycloplegic medications, for example, cyclopentolate or atropine eye drops. Cycloplegics dilate the pupil and reduce the pain associated with ciliary spasm. Cycloplegic refers to paralyzing the ciliary muscles. Cyclopentolate and atropine are antimuscarinic drugs that reduce the action of the iris sphincter muscles and the ciliary muscles. Recurrent cases of anterior uveitis may require treatment with DMARDs or anti-TNF medications. So thanks for listening to this episode on anterior uveitis. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll talk about episcleritis.